No, as you know, I try and send out a letter to you every week, but not over Christmas or New Year. And the last one I did was on the throne of David. But I mean, I wrote about the throne of David. That's happy to say. Yes. And I want to pursue that this morning. And of course, this is the Feast of the Epiphany coming up in 3 days' time, which is the traditional day of the Magi visiting the Holy Family in Jesus Christ. So, of course, they were looking for the one who was born to be king of the Jews. So we'll say a bit about that as we go on. In the coming weeks, I'm just still praying for what I do. I mean, my intention was to go straight to Peter, 2 Peter, but it's been suggested to me that we might sort of look at some of the things that we're looking at in the Bible studies on creation and the gospel, which I may well do. It'll be a different style from the discussions on a Thursday. I trust they'll be inspirational, but this would be more the approach I'd take. I would actually commend those studies to you if you've not thought about joining Clive's group. Just get in touch with him. This particular time, we're looking at this, if you can see that on the weekend. The finished work of creation. If there's one thing, one area, which is almost wholly neglected, but absolutely fundamental about creation, it is that it's a finished work. Evolution, of course, apart from microevolution, the kind of things we're seeing with the virus, that's different altogether. But evolution on the grand scale that people believe in, nothing could be more opposed to the Bible's teaching about the finished work. In fact, the microevolution stuff we referred to a bit last week is actually an example of what God has done. It shows variation. When God created the kinds of creatures, including all of the viruses and the, well, not all the viruses, perhaps. We'll see about that in a minute. But the microbes and everything, the bacteria and so on, he gave them the ability to reproduce after their kind. That doesn't mean that everything's like after like. Effectively, it's that. But there can be changes because of the immense amount of genetic material put into every kind, and also because of some mutational changes, as we've seen happen with this virus in the southeast in London. That's totally in line with the Bible's teaching about kinds, totally. And we'll be talking about that on Thursday. So if you want to join, you know, get in touch with Clive, or if you want the Bible study sent to you, ask him. You'll find this is absolutely the most fun. We are actually at a crossroads equivalent to the Reformation here. When Martin Luther studied the Word of God, he found two things were finished works of God. One was the redemption on the cross, and the other was creation. But he concentrated on redemption because that was the thing he had to oppose more than anything else because of all the things, trappings of the Roman Catholic Church, which obscured the fact that Jesus had done it all on Calvary. Well, but he was equally, if you look at his commentaries, affirmative of God had done it all in creation at the beginning, in 6 days, which he said was strict history. And that's the battle we have today. Not that the other isn't there, but many evangelicals accept, hopefully they all do if they're evangelicals, that Jesus' work on the cross was a finished work, you can enter into it. But that's not so when it comes to creation. That is the battleground. So you'll find really the matter that needs to be considered in this study. And also the last one, which is called sci-fi. So those two, you'll find the sort of basics of it all. But there are, in fact, 12 studies emerging altogether. Okay. Now, the wise men came to Herod and said, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" Now, how on earth did they know, or how in heaven's name perhaps I should say, did they know that one was to be born king of the Jews? These magi, whoever they were. Well, let's first of all look at what it's a kind of run through this morning. I mean, I like, as you know, to just go through the passages and comment and ask you for relevant questions, comments, or testimony. We want to look at quite a few bits this morning, so it'll all be a bit, I won't say superficial, but stuff which you could very profitably look at further. If you turn, if you're following in the Bible, to Samuel and chapter 7. David, would you just summarize the fact that we're looking at the throne of David this morning?
大家在新年快乐，就系快乐当中咧，喺翻圣经嗰个根据个字眼咧，一个joy，joyful 2021， 大家能够在喜乐当中过呢个新嘅年，旧事已过，新嘅变新嘅。但系我哋今日能够喺面前嚟到预备咗，就系呢个大卫嘅王位，大卫嘅王朝。耶稣基督在于呢个伯利恒嚟到出世嘅时候，我哋睇翻到今日。 喺世界上唔单止有好多嘅疫症或者其他发生嘅事，神所创造系美好嘅，神俾我哋睇到喺创造嘅当中嘅六日嘅创造，叫我哋能够在呢个世界里边，我哋仍然高举耶稣基督为主，主耶稣就系当时嘅喺中世纪里边嘅马丁路德都讲过，有两种嘅。 一种就系十架嘅真理，就系我哋嘅救赎真理，亦都有创造嘅真理。创造当中系六日创造里边，我哋睇翻到呢个工作已经完成，但系神俾我哋继续嘅思考到喺呢个希律王嘅时代里边，睇翻到三个博士嚟到追寻里边，就系犹太嘅王，但系耶稣基督真正嘅为王。
Thank you, David. Yeah, good. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 11. This is Nathan speaking to David. It's obviously God's word. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Sorry, that's that followed on from the previous verse. Now, moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who should come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Note that. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men, but my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Now, this is the promise made to David that his house would last forever and his kingdom would last forever. And even though his descendants may be faithless, and indeed his immediate son Solomon was, of course, he started off well, but was led astray by his many wives and concubines. Nonetheless, the promises stand. And they stand right through the Old Testament and right through the New. That's why we cannot embrace what's sometimes called replacement theology. The church has not replaced Israel. Israel is faithless and at the moment cut off from God in lots of ways, but it's going to change. And the New Testament, as well as the Old, affirms that. So there you have the promise that there will be a throne of David forever, which is amazing. Okay, then Isaiah 11. What's it say there? There shall come forth a shoot from the stem of Jesse. Who was Jesse? The father of David. And a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Notice verse 4, he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. This is Jesus we were talking about here. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. And then moving right on to the time of the end, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. Now that's not applying to now, that's in the future. Okay. Then similarly, on to Micah and chapter 5. Verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are little, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. What an extraordinary promise. Why Bethlehem, first of all? Because that's the city of David, the town of David. When the wise men, the magi, let's call them that, came to Herod, they said, where is he who is born king of the Jews? We've seen his star and have come to worship him. So what did they do? They went straight to the Bible. And they found it was Bethlehem. The priest told them, no, it's Bethlehem that the Messiah is to be born. And of course, Herod quite speciously said, well, I want to go and worship him as well. Of course, he wanted to kill him. So he actually misused the Bible. He wanted to find out where this Son of God would be born so that he could kill him. So people use the Bible for all sorts of different reasons. But it's extraordinary, isn't it? How God got Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, as I wrote in that letter, which I sent 2 weeks ago. He could equally very well have sent the angel Gabriel and said, now, Joseph, I want you to take Mary and travel down south to Bethlehem. But he didn't do that. Instead, God showed that he was God of the whole world and Lord of Lords. And so he stirred up the spirit of Caesar Augustus in Rome to say that everybody in the Roman Empire had to return to their hometown in order to enroll for taxation, poll tax. So the whole world was on the move. Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the line of David. And of course, there were many, many others who were of the line of David. When they got there, they couldn't find anywhere for accommodation. And so this compassionate innkeeper gave them a stable. But that's why they had to go to Bethlehem, because Jesus is the son of David and of David's line and has his throne forever. Remarkable. We often meditate on the fact that Jesus is king, but he is actually the king of Israel on the throne of David, first of all. David, over to you. Summarize those bits in the Old Testament, then I'm going on to the New.
Let's see. What do you take on to Hey, Lego Sat Mo Yi Ge Ha, or to pay Daga Jeff Jong Yu Ge 嗱，请留意听我读啊，第七章十一节到到系十七节，并不像我几个士师治理我嘅民以色列嘅时候一样，我必须按着就不理一切仇敌扰乱，并且我耶和华应许你们所建立嘅家室，你受数满数嘅时候，祝咗你列祖同岁嘅时候，我必使你嘅后裔接续你嘅位，我也必坚定他的国，他必为我的名建造殿宇，我必坚定他的国，必直到永远，我作他的父，他要作我的子，他若犯了罪，就必用人的杖责打他，用人的鞭责罚他，但我的慈爱仍不离开他，像离开了你面前所废弃的扫罗一样，你的家和你的国必在我面前永远的坚立，你的国位也必定直到永远。拿单就按着这一切话这默示告诉大卫，所以大卫的宝座、大卫的王位，亦都睇翻到以赛亚书耶稣基督讲过穷人的事，从这个十一章耶稣提到的，从耶西本必发一条从他根的枝子必结果子，耶和华的灵必在他身上，就使他有智慧和聪明的灵，谋略和能力的灵，知识和敬畏耶和华的灵，他必以敬畏耶和华为乐，行审判，不眼眼睛见到的，断是是非，不闻不凭这个耳闻，却以公义审判穷人，以正直断着判断着谦卑的人，以口中的迹象打世界，击打世界，以嘴里的气杀戮恶人，公义必当他要腰带，信实的必当腰胁带子。就耶稣基督在新约讲第一篇讲章就讲到，从以赛亚书提到穷人需要的人，就是加百列里面，我们看先使布梦，亦都在奥古斯都，是神给到这个异象，根据圣经所讲，新旧约是大卫的条，大卫的宝座完善去到就是约瑟和玛利亚，约瑟是大卫的直系，约瑟是承担大卫宝座，不单单中途里面有这个所罗门他的暂时的承受，但一直去到玛利亚，约瑟在这个地区里面能够完成了主的心意，从旧约到新约，以色列民就是大卫的宝座去到约瑟那个后裔里面。 OK,
thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, if we then turn to Luke chapter 1, we'll see the direct message from God via the Archangel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary, which says it all, really, as you'll see, looking at it again. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 and following. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. Note that. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." So there it is. The promise that this baby would sit on the throne of David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, this isn't metaphorical. This isn't spiritual talk. This isn't illustration. This is predictive fact. In one sense, a fact can't be a fact till it happens. But in God's economy, it can be, because what he has said will happen, will happen. And of course, if we then move through the ministry of Jesus, we see this. But first of all, we see it with the Magi. Now, Matthew tells us that these Magi, M-A-G-U-S, singular, M-A-G-I, plural, came from the east. Because they'd seen a star, and they knew what the star meant, that a king of the Jews was born. Now, what do we make of this extraordinary story? Well, interestingly, then the word magus, M-A-G-U-S, is normally a bad word in the Bible. Like Simon Magus in the Acts, magician, magic worker. Often these people are seen, these magi, are seen as kind of astronomers or maybe astrologers. But it doesn't quite fit, does it? Now, there may be some other ways of looking at this. I want to share something with you. I'm not going to labour the point or 2 points, but just tell you. Some years ago, I featured this book at Christmas time, The Revelation of the Magi. And this is an extraordinary book. It's a manuscript found in Turkey and now in the Vatican Library, which tells the story, or purports to anyway, of the journey of the Magi from the Far East, far as China, it looks like, to see the King Jesus. And this narrative shows that, or purports to show, that there was a group of people called Magi, M-A-G-I, M-A-G-U-S singular, who actually traced their spiritual and physical ancestry back to none other than Seth, the son of Adam, the godly son of Adam. And that he said, receiving the revelation from his father, Adam, a star would appear when the Son of God is born. And that down the generations, these men watched for this star. And in this book, the word magus is explained not as a magician, but as a silent prayer, someone who prays in silence. And this book, fascinating book. It traces the ancestry, spiritual and physical, of these men back to Seth. But that's not all. There is, in our own country, what's sometimes called forgotten history. And I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Raphael Holinshed. He was the man who wrote 6 volumes of history before, in the time of Shakespeare, and Shakespeare used him for his historical plays. Now, it's still good to get hold of Holinshed's work, but you can get them on Kindle. You can buy some of them in books as well. But Holinshed represents the history as understood in the 16th century. And what he says is this. Now, his sources may be dubious, so I'm not going to labour the point, but that the son of Japheth, Meshech, was actually called Samothrace, and that he was the one who moved to what became known as Britain, or Albion, first of all, and was king here. And his grandson was someone called Magus, who was a an astronomer. And his son again proves, and according to this record, the Druids came from this, and that the word magus was actually exported from this country to Persia. It's fascinating stuff. But that's not all. If you read the Welsh triads, there's a man with a strange name of Gwydion Ganhibyn, who's seen as the originator of the race of people in this country. And who is that? None other than Seth, the son of Adam. So I guess there's something in it. I wouldn't like to say what it was. And I guess more work needs to be done. But let me tell you this. The world of the ancient world was not sort of little bits as we imagine it to be. It was one cohesive whole. And these men, they knew what God was going to do. And they came. But it was to seek the king of the Jews. And then we find it, as we go through the Gospels, the same thing. In Matthew 21, we have the triumphal entry, where Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem. And they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Why did he do that? Because he's the Davidic king. You read where those words come from? The colt riding on the colt, they come from Zechariah chapter 9, prophesying the Davidic king who will ride into Jerusalem. And you know, it's interesting. In the last week of our Lord's life, before up to the cross, the book of Zechariah is quoted more than any other. And when Jesus was crucified, it was known very well how people viewed him, indeed how he claimed himself to be the king of the Jews. And of course, the chief priest objected to that. Rather, he said he was the king of the Jews. No, he said, Pilate, what I've written, I've written. So he wasn't just crucified as the Son of God, which he was undoubtedly the main thing. Blasphemer, but as the king of the Jews. And then, if you move into the ascent of Jesus from the Mount of Olives, again, you can only understand that in light of the book of Zechariah. Why did Jesus go back to heaven from the Mount of Olives? Because Zechariah tells us that's where he's going to come back. And that's what the angel said. And he shall come back, if you read Zechariah 14, as the Davidic king who will establish his throne in Jerusalem. Now, as I wrote in that letter a couple of weeks ago, it was reading that chapter 14. And particularly Joyce Baldwin's commentary on it years ago, that persuaded me that the literal reign of Christ on earth was going to happen, what John calls the 1,000 years, the millennium. And there's no other way. You can't reinterpret Zechariah 14. You can't link it up with Acts chapter 1 and the ascension without taking it all absolutely at face value. I suppose at one time I did, but certainly I don't now. I take it at face value. And it ties up with exactly what Gabriel told Mary. Jesus is king now in heaven, but he's not the king on the throne of David. That is yet to come. To be a king, you have to have the genealogy. All the genealogical records were destroyed in the temple when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, except for two, those relating to Jesus, found in the Bible. He is the Davidic king. And if you read Zechariah 13, you'll find that when the people of Israel, the people of Judah, see their Messiah, whom they pierced, they will mourn. Grieve. And accept their Messiah. Friends, God is working out his purposes and his plans. Jesus is in heaven now. He sends times of revival while he's in heaven, and we're looking for one. But he shall return. If you want to know the details of that return, read Zechariah chapter 14. Hairy, scary, and glorious. There is trouble for Israel. It's called Jacob's trouble in the Bible. But Christ will come and establish his kingdom. Friends, we're in the midst of the years. We may be very near the end. I don't know. Jesus is in full control. But everything that was promised to Mary, his mother, everything that was revealed to the Magi, everything that God's promised in the Old Testament and the New is taking place and will take place. And we need to lift up our heads, for our redemption draws near. There's no place for having our minds conformed to this world. No place to have them sort of suppressed and subdued by fears of COVID-19. We have to be sensible, take precautions, recognize that God is the author of it, including the latest mutation. Recognize that he is the one who's permitted vaccines, which it appears will deal with it. Because all the stuff, all the information in these viruses comes from him. By the way, a virus, we imagine, is part of the curse. God cursed his creation. And the protein in viruses, obviously, is now hostile, or lots of it anyway, to the world. But then that's the case. You know, David Attenborough has got a set of some programs coming up called A Perfect Planet. Well, let me tell you, it's not a perfect planet. It was once, but it's not now. It's a cursed planet, although glorious. And one day it will again be a perfect planet. We have an amazing God. We have an amazing Savior who is creator. We have an amazing future. Not only in heaven, but now, if we will, but take hold of it and believe. And do not let our minds be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. Let me tell you, God is working out his purposes as year succeeds to year. And as we saw in Habakkuk, and as we see in Isaiah, there's going to be a time when the knowledge of the glory of God shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Praise the Lord. Make sure Jesus is your Savior. Repent of your sins. Come to the cross. There's only one way to be saved. That is through the cross. Only one way. Make sure you, every one of you who's watching this or sees it subsequently on YouTube or whatever, that you have come to the cross, admit you're a sinner, and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then make him Lord. And as you make him Lord, you will see the glorious future that he has, and you will reign with him. Let me tell you this. We are going to be reigning with Christ in the millennium. Well, that reign will continue. Something extraordinary will happen right at the end. It says Jesus will be subject to his Father. 1 Corinthians 15. But that doesn't mean he's not going to continue as king. He will reign with the Father and his saints forever in a renewed, restored world, something that Jesus calls the born-again world. That's the phrase he uses in Matthew's gospel. Amazing. Just look forward. Trust him. Be a witness. Be filled with joy. May the God of hope fill you and me with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. David.
喺呢个路加福音记载到，喺呢个到了第一章第廿六节，到了第六个月，天使加百列奉神嘅差遣往加利利到一座城，佢这城名叫拿撒勒，到一个童女，那里已经系佢在大卫嘅家，一个名叫约瑟童女嘅名字叫玛利亚。天使对到呢、这个对佢讲：蒙大恩的女子，我问你安，主和你同在了。玛利亚因这话就很惊讶，又反复思想这样问我什么意思。天使对佢讲：玛利亚，不要怕，你在神面前已经蒙恩了，你要怀孕生子，可以给他起名叫耶稣，他是大卫称为至高的儿子，神要把他大卫给他，他要作雅各家王直到永远。就是我们今天的信息，叫我们看回到属灵生命里面，在属灵里面当中，加百列的天使能够在预言当中成就一切，就是大卫的宝座，他能够的后裔就是耶稣基督承受大卫。在这个三个的博士硕士，他就去到这个东方，而我们慢慢慢慢看回到，就是闪的后裔亚当夏娃，跟着有罗亚，跟着闪就是仍然在这个王朝里面。根据天文学家，根据波斯，根据地理，根据环境当中，这班人就是默默的来到。特别在马太福音第23章讲到，主来到耶路撒冷骑着驴里面，他在这个何撒勒何撒勒为王，大卫后裔的王，进到这个京城。神兴起这个大卫，也都兴起到在这个末后大卫王的承继者，在撒加利亚十四章，撒加利斯十四章讲到这个王朝，叫我们在天国的，在今日的，或者在这个70年代，或者这个大卫在这个建国之后，到耶稣基督的时间里面，神的计划在天国里面的计划。亲爱的朋友，我们需要接受耶稣基督，将来的王就是耶稣基督，现在的王耶稣基督在你心里面，你愿意你的心里面打开。现今的疫症，现今的流行，现今所有一切的苦难，当你来到去到主你面前的时候，神得着一个喜乐，神得着你来到悔改，去回神的面前，这个大大的改变，这个大大的复兴仍然等候你，能够在将来的千禧年里面，在这个哥林多前书15章讲到，我们需要接受这个真正大卫为王的主耶稣。现今希望你得着